Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Not Cool in High School Podcast, episode 120. And we have our
You knew that.
What?
Usually, you don't know it.
Like, as I was pulling it up, that's what I was looking at. I was looking at it right here. Yeah. We are talking about A League of Their Own, but things have kind of changed since we talked about doing this show. We discovered there's a TV show based on it as well. So we're going to.
It just came out. So.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the show, the movie, some actual facts, how reality and the movie collided from both the show and the movie, as well as some history with a local player who's from our area, how they're kind of honored in a pretty cool way. We have our first guest joining us in a long time on the show tonight. Bob is joining us from Bangin' Beers Podcast. And there's some significance to that, because the way this woman is honored in our local area is by something we absolutely love, not Heidi, but myself and Bob, and that's beer. They honor her with an awesome beer, and I don't know, is it awesome? I personally
yeah,
never had it.
You didn't come yet.
It's going to be it's on the agenda. And then also Bob is a pretty big baseball fan, and he does know some stuff about, you know.
We don't know anything
about
baseball.
A good historian, because he, like, a beer is like named after something, and he's like, oh yeah, here's the whole history of that person. So I had to call on the troops tonight and bring Bob in. I wish I would have, no, maybe not, that would have been maybe insensitive if I would have put like the Rosie Riveter but Bob's face on it. Bob came in to help us out. If you are in the chat, please say hi to us. Live chats are open. We do have a thing up right now where if you can help us with a subscriber over on YouTube, it would be greatly appreciated. We're currently at 58 subscribers, so if we could hit that 100, that'd be dope. And also, if you want to support the podcast, we have merchandise as well as a Patreon. Essentially, numbers are pretty low right now. Engagement's pretty low, feedback's pretty low, and a lot of that is across the board, across the entire network. And I hope things change, because
it's summertime and people are
maybe
on vacation.
Maybe, but the we're gonna push this out to the end of the year, but we're gonna make some possible changes going into next year. Because I feel like having people come and do this and pushing and making this a thing. To have maybe three people watch every week is, and we appreciate everyone who does watch, but I do
time.
Have a lot of people who say, like, man, I love you on the internet and I love your post. And I'm like, did you ever watch? And they're like, no. And I was like, cool, then don't say anything to me because it hurts. You know what I mean? Like, cool, I'd love the content you make, but I don't watch it. It's that one.
Oh
yeah. Okay. Because hence this is you, and then there's nothing plugged in.
No.
Okay. So yeah, feedback helps. If you could leave a review on Apple, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or you can leave a review on Facebook or any
anywhere
of that. It helps. It helps. Lets us know what you think of the show. I know, like, the Goodfellas episode on YouTube, 2 views.
Oof.
2. And I think the one before that was like 2 views as well. The last one did all right. It's like 30 some, but like.
Did we do our last one?
Carrie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we're it's like I said, I'm gonna be upfront. I know a lot of times I get in trouble by Andy, like, you don't have to tell people this. But no, I'm upfront with the audience, and I'm upfront with, you know, I think your time is as valuable as ours, as well as anyone else who comes and does this. So any feedback, support is appreciated. Like, share, subscribes, go a long way. We do have some equipment things we're working on getting that's gonna help across the board for the network. Are going forward, if you know, with the network or shows or myself. So if you can, it'd be awesome. If you can't, not a big deal. But like I said, myself and Heidi here tonight with Bob. What's going on, Bob?
Not too much.
So you excited for tonight's topic?
Yeah, we'll give it a whirl. We'll
see
where we go.
This would be the first time you're sitting at the table and there's no beer involved. I'm very sorry. I should have.
We're good.
I should have came prepared. Yeah.
We'll have to go back to the place because we were there once, but
1787.
It was like.
Yeah, that actually, technically, that's my fault. There's no beer. I haven't been down there in a while, and their hours changed since the last time I went. And so when I went to go get beer for the show, they weren't open.
Yeah. Well, I think
we
that's.
We went there one time, but it was super
so,
busy.
It was so packed, and it was close to closing.
We had a gift card for some reason. I think you won it somewhere.
I think I won it at a wrestling show.
A wrestling show or something?
I think we went to a wrestling show.
Yeah, it was
before.
You're right, and we stopped there on our way home, and it was so busy. So you just got like a
growler to go.
That's what it's called.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a growler or a crowler. A
crowler. I don't know where you put it though.
Well, if you still have it, it's a growler.
Yeah,
it's a growler.
The bottle one.
Here somewhere.
Yeah, you probably threw it away.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's the best way to start this. Let's talk local history when it comes to... So it's the AAG.
The All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. They did change their name several times throughout the league's existence. In the beginning, obviously this all took place during World War II. World War II started in Europe in 1939. We got involved at the end of December 1941, and the draft was in place. At the point where slightly before they started the league, and minor league baseball was a lot different than it is today, too. A lot of the there was still the farm system, although it wasn't as entrenched and completely dominant like it is today. A lot of leagues, all the teams were independent, and that was one of the things they did was player development. You know, they would sell players to the higher up leagues. You know, because the leagues were still based on your skill level,
mm-hmm.
but everything wasn't totally owned by the major leagues. There was still a lot of independence in there, but by the time this came around, over 500 professional baseball players have been drafted.
Thanks.
There was a group of people, especially baseball owners and stuff, that became concerned that the talent pool was getting too diluted,
mm-hmm.
and that some people were even concerned that baseball might cease to exist the way it was, because so many people were getting drafted, and they began to look for alternates to keep some form of baseball alive and in the public's eye while the war was going on.
Yeah.
So the guy that actually in the beginning was the brains and the cash and everything behind that was a member of the Wrigley family, Chicago Cubs, Wrigley Gum, Wrigley Park. A lot of that was his brainstorming. The promotion of it all, he was big on advertising and self-promotion. A lot of his efforts is what generated the publicity about the league when it started. A lot of other people, not just with the women's league, but like a lot of people, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Pete Gray,
mm-hmm.
One-armed guy. Mm. That played professional baseball during World War II.
What position?
I'm pretty sure he was an outfielder, if I remember correctly.
How did he throw a ball back in?
He would catch the ball and throw his glove on the ground and.
You know, I feel like I've seen something about that before, but I don't know
or
where
the armpit tuck.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, I always think too, like. My initial, I don't know why.
You just think there's no arm at all?
Like none. Like now, obviously, if you have like up to a bicep, you can do the tuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've seen something about him before, but I don't remember when.
Yeah. And at this time, too, is the Negro League is a thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and at that time, the Negro League was a lot like the Women's League, where teams weren't owned by people. So it was essentially if you had way of transportating yourself and booking leagues and games, you can play.
Well, there was a, when they say the Negro Leagues too, that there's a lot of misconception about that too, because it just wasn't like one league. At any given year, there were four or five different organized, what they call Negro Leagues today.
Essentially, because is baseball at the time still segregated?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is before it became integrated, but they didn't have the consistency that the minor leagues did. Some of the people that owned teams had criminal or less than above board affiliations. They were cutthroat, stealing people's players back and forth. So some teams would be in a different league every year.
Oh, wow.
There was stability. That's the word I'm looking for. The Negro Leagues didn't have the stability that the Major League Baseball had.
Well, they also probably didn't have the money backing them, supporting
them
as well.
That's again. But there was actually five or six different, and there might even be more. I'm just, you know, the ones that I can recall off the top of my head. There was at least six different leagues. And I would have to go look up their names, but I can recall at least three women that actually played professionally in the Negro Leagues.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that they do kind of shine a little bit of light on that when it comes to the League of Their Own TV show,
mm-hmm.
That we will get into in a moment. But yeah, so we do have a little bit of local history when it comes to this league and a player from our area.
That would be Fern Schallenberger. For anyone who's familiar with the area, she was from Hamburg, just outside of Schuylkill County in Hamburg, Berks County. And actually, the beer we were talking about, how we said that honored her.
Yeah.
There is a brewery in Hamburg called the 1787 Brewery.
I'll pull up the 1787 write-up for that, if you want to pull up her Wikipedia page.
And they named the beer Fernschale.
Yeah.
And it's an IPA.
That was the cool thing about the show, too, where in the movie, they kind of hinted at the women drank and smoked and stuff like that. But like they always had to hide it. Where in the TV show, there's a lot more to them being actually humanized and not mm-hmm. being forced to be the women that they were designed.
Yeah, yeah. And like the, it was like a big thing where they weren't allowed to, like, I know in the movie, they went into like the, etiquette classes and they have to be
well, that was
proper
real.
Lady. Yeah. Yeah. But in the show, they go into it, but they also say like, you can't wear pants outside of the house. Like, you can't do this and that, and like they would get fined for it.
There's actually there was at least one where she cut her hair mm-hmm. and they thought her haircut was too unfeminine and they gave her the boot.
Oh my god,
like I'm so, like
you'd be screwed.
Yeah,
like you had to follow the rules.
Yeah,
it was crazy to me.
They weren't allowed to appear in public without lipstick.
Yeah,
like
they had to be all done off, like. I'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Also, it bothers me a little bit. This is probably super silly and you're going to laugh at me. They call it the Girls League. Why isn't it Women's League?
Listen.
It's the Men's League, not the Boys League.
Baby steps, baby steps. When did baseball turn in from women playing legit baseball to softball? Like, when did that transition? I don't know. I may have just thrown a curveball at you here, baseball reference, but like, women don't really have like a baseball league anymore. It's almost all strictly been switched over to softball.
Even when the material based on A League of Their Own started, that originally started as a softball league. It was underhand pitching. The bases and the pitcher were all closer than real baseball is. And as the women became more adept at play, throughout the life of the league, some of that stuff changed. The distance between the bases, how far away the pitcher was. I don't remember the specific year, but at one point they actually did change where it stopped being the underhand pitch and they pitched overhanded.
So in this TV
and a lot of
show,
people don't realize that it outlived the war. The league actually functioned until 1954.
Yeah,
yeah.
The think the TV show, the woman pitched overhand. Yeah, everyone pitched overhand, and in the movie, I believe it was all underhand.
No, it was overhand.
I remember one of the pitchers in the one game; she was pitching underhand, like she was doing the like that. If I could be wrong, though, because I honestly, one of the things in the show that you go into is where they talk about the black woman who was pitching, and pitching again. Like when she was pitching, she was doing awesome, and then she went and pitched at the men's practice, and she got smoked.
But she was it was like nerves, because then she did it again later.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was nerves or if she had to stand at the actual mound, and that's what threw her off, where she lost a little bit of her pitch because she was further back.
I don't know. I thought
I didn't
it seemed
know.
Like it was nerves to me, because then she did it later in the actual game. And
yeah, but the Fernschale is a 7% ABV. IPA American beer from 1787 in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, which is a microbrewery, named after the Hamburg native Fern Schallenberger, who played third base in the All-American Girls Pro Baseball League from 1946 to 1954. So she almost played the entire run of the league.
The Wikipedia says she played from 1946 to 1954, so that was pretty close.
Yeah, this beer has a balance of hop and bitterness, flavor, aroma, and central Citra hops, a very easy drinking beer. And it averages out of a five scale. It averages a 3.63 and a 3.59. So it's right there at a 4 out of 5. That's cool. It's pretty cool that we have local history when it comes to this movie. And they actually have her baseball card
oh, that's cool.
as the photo. Cool.
Yeah. There's one with the same bitter picture, I think, with the Wikipedia article.
She played it from Hamburg, but to play in this league, she played in Wisconsin.
Well, that's the other thing, too. All 10 teams in the league, they were all based in the Midwest.
Yeah.
The farthest east team might have been in Indiana.
Yeah. So I know that maybe making the women play in skirts was a bit of a... In today's term, would have been like, why you got to play in the skirt? You know what I mean? But I will say the jerseys were dope. Like, like the fact that they had the big crest in the middle with like the whatever the crest symbol meant, like the Rockford, I think was like a Justice Ballast scale. Yeah, actually, so. They were just called Peaches, but the logo didn't have a peach on it.
What, I guess Rockford's known for peaches. I guess.
Yeah. I don't think they're known for peaches.
I don't know. In Illinois. You know, but what? They're probably, I don't know what
they make
the
a joke about it. Like, there's no peaches in this area. You should probably name it after, right.
I was going to say, maybe they're all like naming them things that are like, because they're peaches and bells, but the other one's like comets. So yeah. Really.
But I like the big crest on the jersey.
Yeah.
That was a cool touch.
It did suck that they had to wear skirts. Oh, that's dumb.
I bet you it was really easy to move your legs, though.
Yeah, it was really easy to get bruised up when you slide.
That's true.
That's some of the stuff that I watched. That was one of the things that constantly came up with women that played in the league. They called them, I want to say they called strawberries. Yeah.
So, yeah. There was
from sliding where you have like a big abrasions on your legs.
Mm-hmm. So there's the girl that she did in the movie. She got one that's like based off of a real girl who it happened all the time, but apparently, I read that the girl, like the actress, actually got a bruise because she slid.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
So you have anything for Fern here?
So like we said, she was from Hamburg. She was born in 1923. She was an avid baseball fan her whole life. Her idol was Babe Ruth. She played third base. And she was actually as far as the league standards goes, I you know, having never seen her play, I can't say how that pans out overall, but she was a great fielder, and double plays in her fielding percentage, she led the league 3 years in a row from 1949 to 1951
with double plays
throwing people out. You know, as being a fielding participant in a double play.
So essentially gets cracked at the third baseline. She makes a catch, tags a bag, and then throws it the second or first and gets an out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had a career 942 fielding percentage, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
She was an all-star 5 times.
Dude, Fern was a boss.
And that fielding percentage was the highest of all third basemen in the league's history.
Wow. That's dope. Now, what was I going to ask? So in baseball terms, obviously, I didn't grow up playing baseball, so I don't know much about it.
Yeah,
but I know, when I did play baseball, they're just like, all right, Tony, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Enjoy left field.
Hang out.
You know what I mean? Like, where the least amount of action, I think, goes, right? Like, technically, most left field, unless you have, like, a lefty batter, most action is going to go right field or right side of the ballpark. So when it comes to, like, being put in positions, like, if I was putting people in positions, like, obviously, you know, you need a good defense, you need good strikers, you need good midfielders in term of soccer, or a quarterback and running back. When it comes to, like, first base and third base, that's usually your two of your better arms and catchers, right? Like, you're more athletic.
You have to be quick. You have to
reaction time.
Yeah, to hug the line. You have to be aware of your base runners. You have to. There's a lot of stuff going on when you're on one of the corners.
Yeah. So usually that's you're one of the top players if you're being put in those positions.
Well, I mean, every position has some aspect of its own.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I don't necessarily say you're the top player, but you'll be the top player at your position.
Yeah.
Usually
first base is usually a bigger guy, like a bigger person, right? Because they take up more of the bag.
Well, that's it's a typical thing is to be able to do the stretch to beat the throw to the when you're trying to get the out.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to make the throw as short as possible to beat the base runner coming off home plate. So yeah, typically first basemen are a little bit bigger.
Where did Babe play when he played?
Well, that's another, for anyone who's not familiar with the Babe Ruth story, during his days with the Yankees, he was an outfielder, but when he started, he was an all-star caliber pitcher.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And
because he was a bigger dude, right?
Yeah.
And they stuck him in the outfield.
Yes, I would after his pitching days were done. Yes, he.
Wow.
There's a. I'll have to see if I can find it and bring it to another one of these. But like he tried to steal a base once, and that was pretty sad.
He would like be smoking a cigarette or a cigar like on the bench, like back in the day. Like you, people were drinking on the sidelines, right? Yeah. For the most part.
Oh yeah, that's another thing too. Like especially before World War II, in the 30s and the 20s and the World War I era, they would oversell games, and people would actually be like inside the stadium, like lining up against the walls and stuff.
Wow.
And you know, that's where the stadium would seat them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, foul balls, getting spiked from people running. You know, and.
Yeah, I couldn't. No way.
I don't want anything.
Yeah.
I don't want any parts of it.
Anything else about Fern? Did her team ever win any championships? Was she a championship player?
So when she started, she got drafted by the Kenosha Comets. She played for them for 5 years. And then she joined the Kalamazoo Lassies.
The Kalamazoo.
The Comets are the ones that, what did I read? I just read it. They
won a lot. They were one of the top teams, right?
So the Comets went out of business. That's why she switched teams.
Oh, okay.
So the Comets folded in 1951, and then she moved to the Lassies.
Yeah, the Comets won the championship the first year.
Yeah, they were the ones. Inaugural.
Not won, but they were the ones that Racine played against. They didn't play against the Peaches in real life.
Yeah, the Peaches didn't make it to the championship the first year.
No, they were like last, I think.
Yeah.
But the Comets is who they played.
Yeah.
But she died in 1977.
Oh.
She died in a car accident with her father.
Oh, no. I wonder if she has any living relatives in the area.
I mean, probably.
That would be a good search out for her.
77 isn't that long ago.
I'm saying, though, like, I wonder, like, did she die living in Hamburg or did she stay out in Wisconsin? I'm saying if she has any active relatives in the area, that would be a good, maybe a reach out for interviews with everyday people. If anyone knows anyone about anything about her or anything about all the six people who watch this, let me know. You want some speed in the outfield. Absolutely. Yeah. Your speed is where you want to be. But I like, obviously
not where I would be.
I would have terrible reaction speed. So you wouldn't want me at shortstop or on a bag because I would.
I'm slow and just slow.
Yeah.
I'm not fast.
You'd be like, they'd probably still put you in left field, outfield. You'd be out there.
Yeah. I'd be like where they don't need me.
Yeah.
Like, chill out there in the corner.
Or a catcher. You'd probably be a catcher.
Negative. I don't want them.
Big thunder thighs.
I don't want them throwing that ball at me.
You are a mask. yeah, so let's dive into the movie. I have it up here on IMDb. It was a 1992 movie.
Such a good movie.
PG, 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Is it really?
Pretty much the movie is about two sisters join the first female professional baseball league and a struggle to help succeed amid their own growing rivalry. So it starts off as these sisters, Dottie and Kit, who are playing in their own female league. And Dottie's just always the star and Kit never gets her shine. Dottie played by Gina Davis, Kit played by Lori Petty. Also in the movie, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, Megan Callahan, can't tell her name, say her name right. Many other. Actually,
Tom Hanks.
I was getting there. I was saying the women first. Relax. Anne Ramsey, who you know from a few other movies. Yeah, and then Tom Hanks. Yeah. So it was directed by Penny Marshall. I wonder what else did Penny direct. I'm just gonna pull out this up real quick. Penny Marshall is also known for being a very big TV actress. Do you know who Penny Marshall is?
Laverne.
Laverne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's in Laverne and Shirley. She was also in Big, which happened after A League of Her Own. So she directed Tom Hanks and then acted aside of him in Big. Let's see what else she has. I didn't realize she produced so many and directed so many movies. Wow. She's a boss.
Oh, that's according to Champ. She was a big lifelong baseball fan as well.
She directed Renaissance Man with Mark Wahlberg and Danny DeVito. She directed Big. Wow, I'm learning something new here. Yeah, very good. She's very good with comic timing. It averages a 7.3 out of 10 in IMDb ratings, which is that's a good rating. Sex, nudity, mild. Violence and gore, mild. Profanity, mild. Drugs, alcohol, and smoking,
what
mild.
What gore is there? Her bruised leg, that's it?
Well, she gets a little rug burn, yeah.
We're calling that, first of all, it's not just rug burn. We're calling that mild.
Listen, censorships are weird now. Did I lose my spot? No, I did not. And then the last one here was... You make me lose it. Frightening and intense scenes, mild. I don't know what they would see by that.
Well, he yells at them a lot. That's probably...
Facing down a fastball.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
I would say he's yelling at them. That's scary. I don't like people yell at me.
So,
but it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is hilarious.
That was closer to his bosom buddy days than his Saving Private Ryan days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Tom killed it in this movie. He does a good job.
Yeah, he does. I don't think I have... There's some movies that I don't like him in.
Just never go on vacation with him because he's known for, like, he's getting lost in space. Lost he's in lost everywhere. Lost in airports. He's lost in islands. Yeah. Tom Hanks is not a good vacation buddy. No. Don't buy a house with him.
No.
Yeah. So when it comes to this movie, what are some things that stand out? Where does this rank in one of your favorite movies? I know this is pretty high for you.
It is pretty high. I'm really bad at ranking movies, but it's pretty high. I like it.
Favorite character in the movie?
I don't know. I like them all because I like Kit, but sometimes she's kind of annoying. She's like whiny.
So as a kid.
But she's like the underdog, so I kind of like it.
As a kid, it's easy to attach yourself to Gina Davis and Tom Hanks, right? They're just the
main characters.
And then Madonna, because like growing up. That's in cool. The 90s, like, Madonna cool. was, she's like today's Lady Gaga. She's just like icon. She's killing it. Mm. But also as a kid, I loved me some Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Even as a Howard Stern fan, and he roasted her a lot, made fun of her. I always liked Rosie. I was a fan of the Rosie O'Donnell talk show. Like when she had her own talk show, she was Velma and Wilma. No.
Yes.
No, she was Betty Rubble.
Betty Rubble. Betty
Rubble.
She was Betty Rubble and the Flintstones. Yeah. Like, I just loved, I loved Rosie.
She made an appearance in the show, too.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, I didn't know you were getting there.
We're going to get there. Where does this movie rank for you?
I hate to say it, but I have never seen the complete movie in one sitting.
I was going to let him borrow it, then realize we didn't own it.
I feel like we did.
I've seen pretty much the whole thing. I would probably give this around a 7.2.
Yeah.
It's a up until that point, it was the first real representation of a relatively unknown piece of history. It does decent as a comedy.
Yeah.
I think it holds up well.
Yeah. I do like it, and you know, I'm not big into sports, but I do like it, and I like that it's like a real story. Like
when people say they hate sports, and then I'm like, how do you watch? Like Andy, for example, I wish he was still on the show for this conversation. Cause it's like, he's like, I hate sports. And I was like, yeah, but like there's storylines of sports. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you watch a sports movie, like Remember the Titans or like,
yeah, see, I could do that.
Like, that's legit sports. Like when you follow your team a whole season and you're watching the ups and downs and
He's a professional athlete that hates sports.
Yeah. Well, he's a professional wrestler.
An athlete.
Yeah.
Can't watch. I don't like sports.
Well, wrestling is, I guess, what we would call scripted.
Mm-hmm. But the act of it is very much real.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't fake that. None of that is pretend. You have to be in fantastic physical condition to do that on a regular basis.
I just feel like games are too long.
But that's maybe not in the conventional sense, but absolutely all the things that, because you have to train to maintain that. Some people may not agree with me, but that's an athlete.
I agree. I think it is. I sports are just too long for me. I think I get like ADD and I can't.
Baseball is one that I have a hard time watching live.
I can't do football. There's too many. It's so long and there's too many.
You think football is long? Go to a baseball game.
I know.
Go to a cricket match.
Football is
3 days.
Too much.
3 days.
I came home literally just going to watch the Super Bowl halftime and it was 3 minutes on the clock. And I said, do I have time to go get a shower? And you said, no. 45 minutes later, we hit halftime. That's absurd.
It wasn't 45 minutes.
It was. I'm telling you, because I was like, I could have took a shower by now. Like, what's happening? It's so long. I don't understand why there's so many. Why do we stop so many times? Just play.
Yeah.
Keep going. But anyway, as a movie, I think it's good because it's a little bit of sports, but there's a lot of other stuff. It's a real story, which is nice. Women's empowerment, all about it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with sports too, is the same way you fall in love with the characters like in the movie is the same thing you do in actual sports. Like when you're a fan of a team and you learn like growing up, like Dan Marino, like you learn about Dan Marino, you know, where he went to college, you know, where he's hometown. Like,
you know
like
how I learned about Dan Marino.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Also, again, another sports comedy.
Yeah.
No historical basis on this one.
Always laces out. But what I'm saying is sports does have that appeal. I just think people just...
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's just not for everyone.
Absolutely.
This is like a version where like you don't see a whole entire game. You see bits and pieces. The good stuff. That's all I want.
So during the filming of this, during the film in the World Series games, stars took turns entertaining unpaid extras. Tom Hanks did puppet shows over the dugout. Rosie O'Donnell did stand-up comedy, and various actors pretended to be Madonna and sang her songs after the singer balked and performed it for fans. So when they were doing stuff for extras, Rosie O'Donnell would go out and do a monologue.
Madonna didn't want to do it.
Well, she would, but it would be funny. It was funnier that Madonna was like watching them pretend to be her. They were being entertaining. The characters at the Baseball Hall of Fame and seen playing in the credits role were our real original players from the leagues portrayed in the film.
That was one of my notes too. Also, the son was...
I hated that kid in the movie.
Oh my God, in the movie, he's terrible.
I'm so happy the TV show did not talk about them. Who cares?
It was terrible.
I wanted him to get sucked up a pipe like Willy Wonka because he was wearing the same outfit for the most part.
He was, but he.
But daddy, I want a new Balooba too.
I hated that kid. Yeah. I wish Madonna would have hit him with the bat.
Well, obviously not his name, but Stillwell. Stillwell, darling. That's his name.
Yeah.
Stillwell. But it was one of the sons that I think started the whole process to like a movie, I think.
Okay.
With the director.
The storyline was inspired by the career of baseball legend Dottie Collins. During World War II, Collins played for the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League and pitched 17 shutouts during her six-year career. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the characters from the movie and the show are their own characters, but they are inspired off real people. Yeah.
Oh, this was it. Helen Candale and her sister Margaret were the first sisters to compete in the league, and that was... Helen was his mom.
Yeah.
The guy who started it.
Kelly.
His name is Kelly.
Tom Hanks is portrayed off a real person who took over the Peaches.
He's inspired by a couple people. I feel like all the characters are.
Yeah, that's the impression that I got too. the majority of it might have been one person. Yeah. Almost everyone in the movie was a composite of several real life people.
But there was an old baseball player who came in about halfway through the league and turned the team around, but they didn't make the playoffs or they didn't win the championship. But they
not
did
the first year.
Yeah, but they did turn things around. The Peaches would go on to win 4 championships as a team, which is cool. So, yeah. Not even Tom Hanks knew when he was going to be done peeing. Penny Marshall was in the stall with a hose and a bucket making the noise. So he didn't even know when it was going to be over. And the girl goes, wow, that's a long pee.
I always forget that it's like there's funny stuff in the movie too until you like rewatch it and you're like, oh, it's good.
While the more mature Dottie is played by a physical Lynn Cartwright, her voice is dubbed by Gina Davis. Wow.
Oh, the old.
Yeah, the older lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the famous.
Although she looks like her.
I thought it was her with makeup.
I thought it was her with makeup.
Yeah. For the famous catch, Gina Davis had to have a stunt double do the split. Although Gina Davis could do the split, she couldn't slide into it.
I read something that when she did the split for the first time, she couldn't get up by herself. they had to help her up.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that wasn't fun in those skirts either.
No. Ooh,
not at all. Yeah, those big bloomers, right?
It was like shorts underneath, I think.
Yeah. The film portrays the league as initially unpopular and profitable until deeming gimmicks were used to attract male audience. In reality, the league was popular and profitable from the start, largely because it played in towns in the uppermost Midwest that had no way of watching live baseball games. Eventually, the league grew into a 10-team, two-division league, and the advent televised baseball games in the early 50s, however, would lead to the demise of the popularity of the league later on.
Well, that's some of the other stuff there. The first night game ever played at Wrigley Field was in the league.
Yeah.
Where they brought in lights just for the game. When the league started, the league owned everything. And especially under Wrigley's tenure, they were adamant about promotion. And almost everything that I've read says that was the beginning of the downfall. But after Wrigley stepped down and other people got involved, at some point that devolved to where the teams were responsible for their own self-promotion. And it pretty much went down the pot. They averaged like $500,000 a year in attendance. And I think the best year was 900,000.
Wow.
So, that's exactly why you said, because it was all in places where pretty much there was no baseball or there was no TV or, you know, TV wasn't like it is today. You know,
you only had like a couple channels.
Like it wasn't even like it was when I was a kid. A lot of places, there wasn't even just the three channels.
Yeah.
You know, TV didn't air all day. Sometimes it only aired for special occasions.
Please stand by.
You're more than likely to get all your information and news and stuff like that from the radio or a newspaper than you are from TV.
And now we're at a point where podcasts are popular. Except
everything.
Except this one.
Like easily accessible.
Yeah. Tom Hanks gained 30 pounds in preparation for this role. He attributed the weight gain to nearly to Dairy Queen. All the filming preparation, Penny Marshall encouraged Tom Hanks to keep on eating. Meanwhile, she told Rosie O'Donnell to eat as little as possible.
Ouch.
Yeah. Just trying to think of what else. That's pretty much all I have. There's a lot more other facts, but we'd be here all day just for the one thing, and I want to get into the other. Anything else in closing for the League of Their Own 1992? Nothing?
Not really.
Talked about a lot. The exhibit that they mentioned in the movie at the Hall of Fame, that's for real. It's still up.
So the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame has a wing for the Women's League?
Yes.
Good. That's cool. I'm not a big baseball person, but I'd love to go see the Baseball Hall of Fame. I believe the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are all within like driving distance to one another. Like you could make a day out of each of them. Baseball's in Cooperstown, right?
Baseball's in Cooperstown, New York.
Rock and roll and football are in Ohio.
Correct. Canton and Cleveland.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Those two are close enough to do both.
I was thinking. So the Baseball Hall of Fame is in PA. Cooperstown.
New York.
Oh, New York. Yeah,
New York.
Yeah, sorry. I'm an idiot.
We could go there. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know much. Actually, watching this inspired me that a movie that I didn't really watch when it came out, and now I want to kind of go back and check it out, is the Jackie Robinson movie. They said it was really, really good.
42?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
The guy who played it was Chad, who played Black Panther, who passed away.
Chadwick,
yeah. So I liked the movie. Always a fan of the movie.
Yeah.
I just rewatched the movie today after watching the brand new TV series. And I will say this. I'll watch the TV series 1,000 times.
I did like the series.
More than I'll watch. I'm not saying the movie is ruined for me. But the TV show is fucking excellent.
Yeah. I like that it goes more into the issues at that time.
So this show is 100% going to be deemed to be. Yeah, it's the internet thing because it hates me.
Always around this time. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
This movie is going to be deemed 100% to be turned into, oh, they're just trying to shove woke culture down your throat.
The show, yeah.
The show.
Abby Jacobson even said that in an interview, but.
Yeah, she said, essentially, she said there was more stories to that league and what those women went through that she dove into and did research and figured out that, like, this was a real thing. And yep. she did research where, so the league definitely, the movie does not talk about essentially anything about the women. Like, it kind of shows for a second when they're outside the bus smoking and they're all hiding it.
Right.
And they weren't allowed, like, they were at the bar and they kind of, like, got a word that somebody was going to come look for them there and they had to quick go out the back door.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, you're talking about 2 hours compared to television season.
Yes.
Two.
Which is a huge reason why I think more media should look into the TV route and not the, like, which is crazy because back in the day, if you did TV, it was almost like a step out of your career. Like, oh, you do TV. Yeah. And now it's the point where people rather consume a series of a TV show than watch a two.
I feel like you can put more into it.
Yeah. You can. And like episodes can be based on a character and you can still drive story. I thought it was done incredibly well. So the TV series is a comedy series about the World War II American baseball professional, American professional women's baseball league. Yes. Some of the people in the show, we have Abby Jacobson, who plays Carson Shaw,
and is the creator.
She's the creator, producer. She's a lot on the show.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Abby is, she is one of the two stars of Broad City, which I will also say is a very funny show.
Yeah.
You have the beautiful Shantae Adams, who plays Max Chapman. She is stunning. Darcy Carden, who plays Greta Gill. I can't say her name, but so I'm not even gonna try. But the cast is unbelievable. The other girl. One of the ones who steals it for me, Melanie Field, who plays Joe, who is essentially as close as you're going to get to a Rosie O'Donnell placement to play that character as you're ever going to get in real life.
Yeah.
She fucking steals the show in a lot of ways. She's so, so talented. But this show is going to talk about a woman who is from, I believe, she's from the farm, but she doesn't live on a farm.
Yeah, that's like the running joke.
Yeah, that's like the running
farm girl.
But she's like from the state, but she's not like a farm.
Not an actual farm. She's never been on a farm.
She's married to a man in the army. She essentially finds out that the baseball league's a thing. She enjoys baseball, always wanted to play. Jumps on the train, doesn't tell her friends, doesn't tell her family, doesn't tell her husband, and just goes and joins the league and tries out and makes it. And then the entire time she's there, she starts realizing that there's more girls like her and she's questioning her sexuality, where I think realistically, if you had to break her down, she's bisexual. She's still attracted to her husband, right? Like,
I mean, I guess
she's torn on her sexuality. She's her whole life. She's been in heterosexual relationships. Then she gets there.
Well, I think she's only been with him because they were friends from like age of six and they were together.
Yes. But the character of the heathen character of Greta, who is 100% bisexual, kind of is picking up on vibes from her. And she's like,
I don't necessarily know that she's bisexual.
She left bars with men.
She did it on purpose to show that she left the bar with a man. She said that. She said, anytime I start feeling something for a woman, I make sure to be seen leaving with a man.
Oh, okay.
It's the cover.
Yeah.
Because back then you can't.
Greta uses her sexuality to her advantage. She's very open and comfortable with her sexuality.
That would have been like a, you're done.
Yeah.
If they were caught being in any female relationship, it was bad, bad, bad news.
Yeah.
Even in the point of the show where, the one pitcher, she's a Spanish pitcher. So in this story, they allowed Hispanics to play in a league, but not blacks.
Yeah.
So the one girl tries out and they're like, you're not allowed to play here. And even though she was really good, they're like,
let her try out.
Yeah, they were like, get out of here. You have to leave.
Yeah. That's true. They weren't even allowed to try out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. Like, what? Like, I don't
The two Spanish girls in the show are hilarious too. The one girl who spoke broken English.
The one girl's like 17.
She's fast. Oh, she's like
so fast.
Yeah, she was like the base stealer. And then technically you weren't supposed to steal bases, but they did it all the time.
They needed an edge.
Yeah, that was their edge.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah.
I liked her. She was funny. I like the one part where she's like running and the other girl chases. She's like, you're not going to catch her. Like, stop.
Yeah. The pitcher in the show in this was Hispanic.
Roberta Calindra.
Yeah. So
I liked her a lot.
She keeps sneaking out.
Lupe.
And she's sneaking out. And then the main character sneaks out and follows her where she goes. Mm-hmm. And she walks into this building and the guy's like, she's like, where did
it's like an accountant. Like you just,
there's a guy sitting at a desk. And she's like, where did my friend go? And he goes, what are you talking about?
Like your tax guy. That's what he looked
like. And she's like, my friend just came in here. Where did she go? And he's like, oh, you must mean this. And he literally just taps on a bookshelf and it's a secret door.
Like speakeasy.
It's a speakeasy, but it was a speakeasy for people who were gay.
Yeah.
So the entire, it was like a bar, club.
That,
yeah. Anything that LGBTQ was welcomed in this club. And that was one of the things they researched too, where she's like, that was a thing too. Yeah. And then at one point in the show, even in the Black culture, they had that where they would have these house parties where people would go to, and that was like their escape. Mm-hmm. But the police raided, and when the police raided, they beat the shit out of
everyone.
And everyone gets away except the Rosie O'Donnell character. So this is kind of a spoiler. Sorry if you're, and she ends up getting kicked off the team. She has to go to a different team.
But they cover her out.
Yeah, they cover up the fact that she was, because if they would have said that she was lesbian, they would have looked into the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And to cover it up, they just moved her to a different team and said, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. But she got beat up.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty bad. And that's where you're going to get your cameo of Rosie O'Donnell. She's the club owner.
Yeah, or like the bartender or something like
she
that.
She owns the club.
Oh,
yeah. But it has a lot of drama. There's something for everybody in this show. Like I said, and it follows this Black girl who essentially is struggling with her sexuality as well as trying to find a place in baseball because she loves playing it.
I like stuff like this a lot. What was the other show I was watching? Lovecraft Country. Like, I like stuff that shows like the history, like that.
Well, the funny thing is they took, so Jordan Peele bought the rights essentially to Lovecraft.
Yeah.
But the guy who created Lovecraft was a huge racist. Yeah. So they kind of bought his rights and then made him.
Well, then you're talking about H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
But I like stuff like this that shows you the actual history, the story, like, because I feel like we learn it in school, but people don't actually understand like how bad it was for people of color. Or
gay,
like LGBTQ, like people don't understand, like
they'd live in secrecy,
get murdered, like, and I feel like that's good to put, like, people are like, oh, it's woke. No, like, we need to remember this so that we can make sure we don't go back.
Realistically, realizing that gay people were going through stuff really wasn't a huge hot topic button until Matthew Shepard, I feel. Matthew Shepard was a kid who went to a bar. He was essentially openly gay, and they took him, tied him to a fence, and beat him and left him for dead, and he died. And that's kind of the first time somebody was charged for, I believe, for a hate crime against someone who was gay. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, and that opened a lot of doors for, like, I feel like gay rights and saying, like, yo, we shouldn't be hurting people for this. You know what I mean? And we're still to this today, people are struggling to live. It's way more accepted and open, which is beautiful.
It's still not like,
yeah.
I don't know. But I think it's good that we don't forget this stuff happened. Like,
yeah, but this show, I will say, I
think it's a very good show and I recommend it to anyone.
Sex and nudity, moderate.
Ooh.
I'd make it higher. But violence and gore, none. I would say violence. You know, that bar scene was pretty rough.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Profanity, mild. Mm-hmm. Alcohol and drug use, mild. And frightening and intense scenes, none. It's well done. And then Nick Otterman he kind of plays a Tom Hanks role.
Oh yeah.
But they kind of did it where he kind of joined the league and then was just like, he kind of was a dick and he came in and the girls kind of like ran him out and they ran the team by themselves and it kind of got rid of that male aspect and kept it all.
He went to go coach the Orioles or something.
Yeah, he went to the major leagues.
Yeah.
But
he did get hurt. He was like a pitcher and he hurt his arm or something like that.
And he had a famous pitch and he used to make the one girl throw it all the time.
And then she started to hurt her arm.
Yeah, because it was a different type of throw. He called it a scissor ball where he put his two fingers in between the inseam and it actually ruined his career because I guess it took more strain. I don't know. But yeah, it's really fucking good. It was such a good show. I recommend it. If you have Amazon Prime, it gets a 6.9 out of 10, which I think is criminally underrated.
Yeah.
I think it should be higher. If you're a fan of the movie, go watch the show. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot because it definitely, like, the movie does touch into a little bit, like the women have to do their certain things, but the show definitely goes into that more. Like I said, the fines
they actually show them do the etiquette class.
Yeah. And well, they show it in the movie, but not like they don't show it as much in the show.
Yeah, they do.
They do, but
the girl can't. They come down too. And they have to get pretty much observed, and the one girl doesn't want to make it because she wants to make a point.
And they like kick out the one other girl for something.
I think it was cutting her hair. I think the girl's hair was too short and they kicked her out.
No. I mentioned that earlier. That really happened.
I think it was something else, though. They kicked her out for something. But then the one girl, she didn't have makeup on. And
they all said, the only reason she doesn't have makeup on is because she helped us do all ours. And she didn't help with them. But they knew she was good and they wanted to keep her on
the team.
But
she was also the one that kept getting fined for wearing pants.
Yeah.
Every day.
And smoke. She would always smoke and she never wore makeup, never wore lipstick.
But I feel like it's cool to. Not like cool because it sucks that it was like that, but like it's cool to
see. But that's really not again. That was they had a system of fines for the etiquette / grammar school or glamour school violations, and you got fined twice, and after that you were suspended.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then it was up to the team or the league how long you were suspended for, and if you came back, if you had another violation, you were done, and not just done with the team, but done with the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the show, they just had to pay, like, their fines.
Yeah, the first two times were cash fines, and then after that, you were suspended. Wow. And if you came back from your suspension, if you had a fourth violation, you were out.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, like I said, I would highly recommend it. If you enjoy the movie, watch the show. The show is fantastic. Anything else in closing?
I had some other stuff.
Because our internet keeps bouncing in and out because it fucking hates me.
I was talking about the picture. Abby Jacobson said she researched and she went into, in the show, they talk about the newspaper, The Defender. And she went to their archives and was like finding all this information. That's how she got all of her facts, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. The same for the LGBTQ. Like, she did a lot of research to make sure that it was all like real stuff.
Well, one of the girls, one of the last remaining people of the league who passed away, she didn't come out with her sexuality until she was like 98 years old.
Oh, yeah. It was Mary Pratt was the last. I don't know if it's the same league. She was the last living player from the Peaches. Or that was her first.
Yeah.
That was her first team. She was the pitcher, Mary Pratt, and she died on May 6, 2020.
Yeah,
really? Age 101.
But it took her almost until the end of her life to be comfortable enough to open up and talk about it.
They still had, they continued to have. I imagine if there's any that are still alive, they're still doing reunions.
Yeah, it's a cool time in America.
But even the youngest one now has to be in their 80s.
Yeah, they were very brave and they were trend setting. You know what I mean?
Or maybe even older than their 80s. I mean, probably their 90s.
Oh, the Peaches. It says the Peaches were the league's most successful team, which is funny because they didn't win the first year.
They probably had something about them that probably made them marketable. You know what I mean?
They were actually in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. There were only two teams that never changed locations through their entire existence, and the Peaches was one of them.
Oh, yeah. Cool. There is a lot of cool callbacks in the if you're a fan of the movie and you're like, well, this doesn't have the characters I assimilate to. You're gonna see a combination of characters in one character.
Yeah, definitely.
But the split catches in there, the behind the back catches in there. No Crying in Baseball is in there. The song is in there.
Oh, it made me cry.
Yeah.
It hits me every time.
Yeah, the song is in there. So there's a lot of cool nods.
Yeah.
So in the scene where the woman of color catches the ball and throws it over the girl's head to home plate, that's kind of a nod to, they kind of give her own story arc in this TV series, and it kind of dives into not just the LGBT side of thing, but people of color at this time.
Thing I had read that was, that lady was actually based on a person.
Yeah. So in the show there was two women of color who were they were marketed in the men's Negro League as two female pitchers, and they would pitch like they were like doubleheader pitchers, and they had two strong female pitchers. Not sure if there's any historical relevance to that, but that's how it was built in the show. Also in the movie, well, I will give credit for probably one of the most powerful scenes in the movie, the original movie, is when the man's delivering the letter.
Yeah.
There was really nothing that hit like that in the show. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like they didn't talk about that at all. War was almost secondary.
Yeah.
And it was more or less the characters, what they were going through at that second.
Yeah.
But in the movie, I thought that was really well done, where Tom kind of like takes a letter off him and he's going down the locker room. He's like, "I'm sorry, your husband's dead."
Yeah. And you know what? That hit really hard because the guy delivering it, like,
he was so nonchalant.
Right. Like, he knew that was his only purpose. I think, like, he wasn't just a regular mail person. That doesn't come from the mail.
Yeah, he walked in. Literally, he walked in, got everyone fucked up, and said, "Oh, I'll come back later when I get this actual sorted."
Yeah.
And Tom's like, "No, you're not gonna get these girls all."
That's like another Tom Hanks reference.
Yeah.
Like the scene in the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. That just wasn't like a letter you got in the mail.
Right.
There was a specific office of the government that handled all that, and almost all those went out as telegrams.
Yeah.
So it was you didn't get it.
He walked in and there was no, they guess they didn't put the name on it. So he was going to go back to the office instead of opening it and looking who the name was. He was just going to go back to the office and get the information. And Tom Hanks essentially took the letter, kicked him out.
He probably wasn't allowed to open it.
Yeah. But Tom Hanks was like, "You're not going to get everyone all riled up here." And then he took it. It was a very powerful scene.
Yeah.
Very
that one's scene. Definitely. And sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
I didn't know if you wanted to try and get a close up of that before.
Can you send that to me?
Yeah,
I'll put that on their social media.
Okay.
The one I posted up was a really, really blurry photo.
Oh.
But if you could send it to me on Telegram, like save it, a screenshot and send it to me.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I like I said, if anyone, maybe the best way to find this out is actually go to the brewery and.
Oh yeah, they might have more.
Maybe they have some information on family.
Hamburg has a historical society.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to talk to any relatives to see, like, I'm sure that grandmother had awesome stories about her time in the league. And it's pretty cool that we had not only just a player in our area, but like a badass player. Like, she dominated.
Mm.
She was like the one of the league leaders in stats. Like, that's sick. And she's from the Skook. It's Hamburg Skook, right?
It's Berks, but
we claim it.
Close enough to hit with a rock.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll claim Hamburg, but we'll give McAdoo to Lizard. You know what I mean? McAdoo, you're not Skook, McAdoo. Get out of here. But Hamburg, see, this is what this fucking drives me crazy.
I don't know why it does.
Honestly, very, very soon, I'm just going to get rid of StreamYard and just when I get these GoPros and just film it and then just edit everything and put it out later.
So it's StreamYard on our internet.
I don't know what it is. It's annoying, is what it is. Because if I'll go and I'll do a speed test and have no issues, but StreamYard gives us one bar and then our quality looks like fucking dog shit and it pisses me off.
Sorry. I found this thing. I just want to say because so in the movie, the black woman that throws the baseball, and then in the show, I don't know if it's the same person, like, but the whole thing where she throws it like that and she's not allowed to try out or whatever, play, like, that was a nod to an actual player who. Her name was Mamie Peanut Johnson. She was 17 years old and she went to try out in 1951, but was turned away because of her skin color. And then she was one of at least 12 black women who played in the Negro Leagues and was the first female pitcher. So it might have been like
based off of her
too in the show. She was on the Indianapolis Clowns. Oh, how do you get that name, Clowns?
Probably like a cigarette company.
See, there was other things too. Things that were common to, and again, like we talked about in a Bang of Beers on Sunday. Not only were there just the outright Negro Leagues, but a lot of teams were what they were called barnstormers. And a company or a church or a town would back them. So like there were the Page Fence Giants because they were backed by a team that sold fences.
Yeah.
The ones I talked about where I couldn't remember their name, they were sponsored by a religious sect. They were called the House of David. And everyone when they played had to conform to the religious appearance. So like everybody had like ZZ Top beards because you weren't allowed to shave if you were part of that church.
So sick.
That's crazy.
There were teams that stars from the Latin American leagues would play that their skin was too dark that they wouldn't let them play in the major leagues, and they would play with these barns like the Cuban Giants, and there was a bunch of them, and then they would say, "Oh no, I'm not black and I'm Cuban." And that actually was how a couple of them in the beginning got their foot in the door.
Wow.
But some of them, if there was like I said, the minor leagues used to be a lot more extensive than they are now. And teams could sometimes have unusual names because it would be based on like a local industry or something. Like there's, I'm serious, like there's teams that were like the cucumbers or stuff like that, or it was just crazy, and or the bedpost makers and all the
Now is there a wing in the Hall of Baseball Hall of Fame for the Negro Leagues?
I believe there is. Yes.
Cool.
And then so what would happen is sometimes the Negro Leagues would come up with their own names, or they would make a black version of it. This is you're gonna die when you hear this one. They would come up with a black version of the existing local major or minor league team. So there was actually a team called the Atlanta Black Crackers.
I love that.
there was a Black Yankees.
Wow.
Dude, I want a Black Crackers jersey.
In the show, they did talk, because Maxine's team, well, she wanted to play so bad she couldn't play. So she literally snuck her way into the factory that she wasn't allowed to even.
So yeah, she tries to go for a job, and the girls because who were doing
they
it were
team
they
and she wanted to play.
They weren't letting her join the team. So how did she do it? She
snuck
she
in. Snuck,
she cut her hair real short. Snuck in because her yeah because
no, she didn't even cut her hair yet.
She did. She cut it up and had it all under her hat.
Not in the beginning. She did.
When she walked in the factory the first time, she had her hair cut short.
No, she didn't.
She did.
No, she didn't. She didn't cut her hair till later after she met her.
Well, then she
aunt.
Put her hair up tight in the hat. Yeah. But
her hair was already.
But her mom even said the reason that she named her Maxine and Max is because her name sounded like a male, and that's the only reason. Because her mom owned a beauty salon, and the only reason that her mom was able to get the grant to own a beauty salon is because her name sounded white. So when she bought the beauty salon under the license under her real name, they thought it was going to a white man. And approved her. So that was how she was able to own a business. So when she named her daughter, she did the same thing.
Well, so that's how she snuck in anyway.
And then when the girls who hired her said, "Oh, she's not supposed to be here." And they're like, "We don't care. We need people to do the job."
Yeah.
And then what she started doing is in the show, she was cutting bolts off the side of like aircraft carriers. Mm-hmm. And the company was called The Screws. So their team name was The Screws. And she would work night shift and then work nights and then sneak in the house and then go to the beauty salon during the morning and like fight to stay awake and then go back to work, like maybe 2 hours of sleep.
But she would like suck up to the pitcher.
She would go to the actual pitcher and be like, "Hey, you have to rest your arm for the big game. Let me take your work for you." And then when the pitcher got moved to first shift, he was like, "I want her to come with me," because essentially she was doing all of his work for him.
Yeah.
And then he also got her in to like try the beat. But that was a thing too, where the mom was like, when she found out she was working at the factory, she was pissed. And it was and then when her mom found out that she was gay, that was a big deal because her
they don't really go into it. Her mom's sister.
Yeah. Her mom's sister was essentially trans at the time. She was a man. She changed her appearance and who she was and everything like that. And she was like extradited from the family because they were very religious, super religious. Yeah. It's fantastic. I recommend it. Heidi. Well, actually, before we get into plugs, let's talk about next in 2 weeks. 2 weeks we are back to horror, not cool in high school horror. And we're talking about a movie, the origin story of the Predator, one of the Comanche. I can't say it, but Comanche nations 300 years ago. Nauru, a skilled warrior, fights to protect her tribe and one of the most highly evolved predators to land on Earth.
So
it's not named a Predator movie. It's a prequel to Predator, where Predator comes at the time of essentially the beginning of colonization, where the white man's kind of coming over and taking the land, and there's war between the Native Americans and the white man. And in the midst of all this, a Predator crash lands on our planet.
Was it which one of the Predator movies where they're in their ship or their base or whatever, and they're walking around, and there's old flintlocks, and so
yeah,
so they established that
mm-hmm.
yeah.
years ago for something like that to happen already.
And I one of the things that confused me, I was like, well, wait a second, I always thought, like, until I watched it when I was older, but I always assimilated Predator for me. I thought they were in Vietnam, like I thought because they were at war, but no, the original Predator, they were in South America. Yeah, that's where he was. So, and this leads to a sequel as well. They said there's more coming based off this era and like watching Predator go through American history, essentially.
Ooh.
Once again, a movie that people hate and some people like.
I love it.
Yeah, some people as Predator fans said the only thing that like there's some things with Predator that was kind of loopholes that kind of ruined the character of Predator.
When is he gonna take on Jason?
I think Jason's fucked. Yeah, like I and some of the loopholes that someone presented to me kind of did make sense. Like, how does she know that he's heat seeking? Like, she would never. Like,
she figured it out because. Don't get me started. That's the whole thing. Everyone's like, "How does the woman beat him?" Because she outsmarted him the
saying,
whole time.
I'm not putting the woman aspect in.
No, but she paid attention to him.
How does she know what thermal is at that point in time?
But she saw him shoot his things and realized that it was going to wherever he set it up to because she paid attention.
Anyway,
you actually need to finish the movie.
Yeah, I fall asleep twice. but yeah, we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about Prey. So we'll be back in 2 weeks for horror.
Yeah.
If you guys have any suggestions for us after
for
that,
next
let episode, us know. Yeah. We need to come up with a topic in 2 weeks. Asking an audience who doesn't even comment on social media is tough. So we'll probably just have to come up with something again, and we'll let you know when we land on it. Do you have any ideas?
So you switch between regular movies.
Yeah, that's our new shtick now. We're going to switch between like regular topics and then horror.
Hard coming up with stuff, so it gives us a little.
Did you do American Graffiti yet?
Mm-mm.
Oh no, we didn't.
Well, actually, next episode will be.
We're still in September. We're okay.
September. I don't know if there's anything September-wise that we can do. I would say we can do Rain on Me, which is the Adam Sandler movie about September 11th. But we just did Adam Sandler. I don't want to get too close to Adam Sandler territory.
Did you ever do The Jerk?
What's that?
That's a Steve Martin movie. Comedy, funny. Yeah, we'll figure something out. Movie review, or we'll find something.
But what about the Blues Brothers?
Ah, that's a good one too. Never watched the Blues Brothers, have you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I'm on a mission from God.
Anyway.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. I think. No, you won't watch.
What?
Anything Marvel? I'd say by that time, maybe Black Panther 2. But I think that's not until November.
I watched the first Black Panther.
Yeah. What's your plug?
Us. Watch us. Listen to us. Support us.
Bob.
I'll ride on that wagon.
Yeah. Check us out. Not this Sunday, but
share, comment, review, everything.
So not this Sunday, but the 11th is when we'll be back on Bangin' Beers. Because this Sunday, I'll be in Jersey all day Saturday, and then I probably won't be able to wake up in time to get ready for a Sunday show. But we'll be back on Bangin' Beers on the 11th, and then think we're riding out the 11th and the 25th. We're bi-weekly there. But I don't have anything booked, Bob, wink, wink, hint, hint, for the next, like, 4 weekends after the 10th. So if we
I'll hit the Tap Depot at least one more time this week and see if I can...
Well, even if we don't do that, we can just take the GoPro and go to a bar and sit and drink some beer.
1778.
Yeah, we can do that. 1778, we can do that. But, the only thing I got to plug is our recommendations. I'm 2 episodes into the new series of She-Hulk. It's fucking awesome.
Good.
It's really good. Check it out. It's entertaining. If League of Their Own and if Prey and they trigger you because you're an incompetent, insensitive man who can't watch a strong
She-Hulk.
Female personality.
You're not gonna like She-Hulk that
don't
much,
want She-Hulk because you're going to be triggered as well. Enjoy pop culture. It's not just pop culture is not just made for white people and men.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like people can have representations of their cultures and
we should all have representation.
Exactly. If it's not your representation, maybe learn something about yourself or learn something about something that somebody else went through instead of being closed-minded and be like, they're just trying to shove this stuff down my throat. You're an idiot. And you should probably just trade your TVs in and and go live in the woods, because you're such a strong man.
I probably wouldn't always had to question which box I was gonna check.
What do you check?
My mom said just pick one. So if it says multiple, then I pick that one, obviously.
I pick white just to fuck with them.
I sometimes do. Because I know they're going to be confused. They're going to be like,
they're going to be like, lying. Heidi Arthur, that's white. And then you show up and they're like,
you're lying.
You lied on your job application.
Everyone at work thinks I'm Spanish, so.
Yeah. And you're not even close. But that'll do it for Not Cool in High School. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. If you want to check out next Tuesday, if you on YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, go to the links below. Check out the IWEPnetwork.com. Next Tuesday will be Truth Behind Illusion with myself, Andy, and Kelly. And we'll be talking about the Ohio Melonheads. Cryptid/who knows? A melonhead.
All right.
Yeah. So if you want to learn what a melonhead is.
Me.
There's actually a beer called Melonhead.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like mainly out that a cryptid. They've been making a lot of cryptid beers.
It's the image on the label was like the headless horseman with a watermelon as a head.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty cool.
This isn't so much a headless horseman thing of just these beings or people that lived in the woods who had these giant melon heads.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They may or may not possibly be inbred, or cryptids or aliens. People aren't really sure.
I'm gonna go with inbred.
Or drunken hallucinations.
That too.
Yeah.
It's always the peyote. We'll see you guys next in 2 weeks for Prey. Here's some Billy Trey. Actually, this is not Billy Trey. Billy Trey didn't make the music for the. Here's some more doot doot beep beep songs.
Oh, yeah.
8-bit. Bye bye.